Wow, what a pleasure. Our next guest, thrilled to welcome them to America Tonight. Kate Delaney on all the nooks and crannies across this great country. With us is Ben Ginsburg. He is the counsel for Mitt Romney. And I can only imagine just how excited, Ben, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Kate.
I can only imagine how exciting it was for you to get the official, officially, he gets the nomination on Tuesday, and now everything is being rolled out. As somebody who's known Mitt for a long time, what was that moment like for you?
Oh, it was tremendous. It was a great culmination of a lot of hard work by a lot of people. Nobody working harder than Mitt Romney and Ann Romney and the Romney family. But it's just a really special moment to have happen.
I've asked other people this that know Mitt well. What is it that, why is there this disconnect? And of course, you were a journalist, so you know it's all points of view. Everybody says that they're objective, but we do have points of view as human beings. And you see some of the things that are written about Mitt, he's not warm and fuzzy, doesn't have the likability of Obama, at least in the polls, because he's getting killed in the polls of the likability factor. But everybody I talk to says, this guy is incredible. Are you kidding me? I talked to somebody who worked with Mitt who said, he knew I had two young kids, and he said, don't you ever, if you have to leave, you go ahead and leave if you've got to do something. This is someone who worked closely with him in the cabinet when he was the governor of Massachusetts. So why aren't there more of these stories out there about Mitt?
Well, it's one of the most puzzling things to me, because he is an absolutely terrific person to spend time with. He's interested and interesting. That is fairly put as something that hasn't come across well in the campaign. That's one of the things that's great about this convention, because you get the opportunity to present Mitt as he is as a person without the usual filter that you have in the day-to-day coverage of him. So that's why the convention is really important. You saw that in Ann Romney's speech last night, which I think was a terrific speech that people just raved about, rightly so. And you're going to see it tonight in Paul Ryan and Tim Pawlenty and Rand Paul and a whole host of people speaking. But you'll especially see it tomorrow night when Mitt gives his acceptance speech. And so it's really a great opportunity for people, now that they're starting to focus on this campaign, to get to see him and know him.
As the counsel to Mr. Romney, what are some, what would he lean on you for advice-wise? I mean, he's a business guy, so I can think of things on the top of my head. But, I mean, truly, what would you consider your role to be, besides friend, obviously, and knowing him for such a long time?
Well, the campaign, representing a campaign is a pretty interesting enterprise. First of all, it's like a startup. It's a $500 million, $750 million startup company that's going to begin and end in an 18-month period. So there are a whole host of legal issues that come from running that startup business. And then it's in a very highly regulated area, because goodness knows, in the country today, we have a lot of campaign finance laws. So we help them navigate those waters and deal with fun things like debates and appearances and various issues that come up.
Would you have been involved in any way, in the vetting process, because in trying to check, because we see how you can get burned in that. I would imagine maybe they could have shoveled some of that off to you.
Well, it was a very well thought out and elaborate process that a lot of people helped out in, and everyone's promised not to talk about it.
All right, so we're not going to pry anything out there. But obviously you knew Ryan was the guy once it was narrowed down and he had made the choice. So.
Yes, and it was an excellent choice.
Like I said, I come from a family of lawyers, so I completely understand from your point of view. Once you get to the convention, you talk about the debates. Now, you'd also, give the listeners an example. We have the presidential debates coming up, so obviously
right.
That has to be something that you're involved in, too.
Right. Three presidential debates, one vice presidential debate starting October 3rd in Denver, another one on October 16th in Long Island in New York, and another one on October 23rd in Boca Raton, Florida. Vice presidential debate in Danville, Kentucky on October 11th.
But you're in an interesting position, because you also are a former journalist, so you can throw in your two cents on some of the back and forth of the questions and all the practice sessions you would do.
Yeah, it's an interesting the whole thing about preparing for debates and understanding debates. And there's a small element of the debate itself and how it's put on, but it really comes down to substance and being able to describe your vision for the country.
Yeah, and in that vision, and I would imagine also you're involved in strategic portions of the campaign, is that right? Because that seems like that would go hand in hand.
Every once in a while they let a lawyer into that. Not too often.
Not too often, just a little bit.
Just a little.
And seeing what's unfolding, you know this, from a commerce point of view, I mean, what's the number one thing people care about? You can take any poll, doesn't matter how it's slanted or what it's in, that everything's about the jobs, everything's about the economy, everything's about the deficit, everything is about the so-called fiscal abyss or cliff or whatever we want to name it, and where we're headed there. So do you also, because this is the meat of Mitt's message in the campaign, 12 million jobs, here's, you know, what I see, this is my vision. Do you help forecast, dig up those numbers, look ahead with that a little bit?
Oh, there's a terrific group of policy professionals that spend their time really thinking about policy, doing the research, help present options for Governor Romney to decide his policies and his positions.
So in that case, there, you're just looking to make sure everything from a legal point of view works.
I mean, it all needs to be accurate, but they're such a terrific and talented squad. I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if you saw Ted Cruz last night, but that was Ted Cruz's job back in 1999 in the George W. Bush campaign, and I worked together with him there, and there was one of the policy research guys today at United States Center.
Wow. And so you see, you've watched his career, how he moved up, obviously,
yeah.
And he's in that position where he has a good chance to win that seat.
Absolutely.
I mean, we'll see.
One of the fun things about doing presidential campaigns is, you know, you're working with the stars of the future on this and every campaign.
Yeah. When you went from the journalist, as you jumped from journalism to law, did you think you know, making that leap, that's interesting, you know. When you're a journalist, it's about the free peanuts. There is free lunches.
There are free lunches.
And that's
it's
what you look
true.
For when you're a journalist. It's terrible. But that's how it used to be. And now then you become a lawyer, and it's completely different the kaleidoscope you look at it. Why did you make that leap? How'd you make that leap and decide that you didn't want to become the next, I don't know, George Will?
Well, I was having a wonderful time as a reporter, but I was covering a story that was far bigger than I was, and I knew I didn't even know the right questions to ask. So I figured I needed a little more education, and that's what turned me to law school.
Well, you know what they say? They say now you have to have a law degree and a medical degree to understand who you're interviewing. But
it's
then the problem
true.
Is the masses and who you're talking to, and you have to make it so they can navigate the legalese.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Translating into regular English is helpful.
Yeah. So Romney is, now we move along here, and people are handicapping it. Do you, as somebody who's really close to him, do you get a good sense of, wow, we're 68 days out? Do you get a really good sense of things gelling and coming together with Paul Ryan?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this has been a terrific campaign. It's like any campaign needs to culminate at the end. And all the pieces are coming together. Paul Ryan is a terrific addition to the ticket. He and Governor Romney have a real rapport that I think people are also going to get to see over the next 2 days and over the next 2 months.
Does it mean that you get a choice seat at the inauguration?
Goodness, I hope so. If there is one, I'm going to be there.
I love that. Ben, you're a delight. Thank you so much.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Tampa, of course. We're here at the Republican National Convention. We're at the convention center on Radio Row, and I really think you're going to enjoy our next guest. His name is EJ Otero. He doesn't know it, but I used to speak fluent Spanish. I lost a little of that. I went to Spain, and I was there for a year. But when you don't use it, you lose it. So anyway, I should brush up. He's actually running for Congress in District 14 in Tampa, Florida.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're excited to have him with us because it's always, I think it's always interesting to get the perspective of the candidates and what it's like when you're running, when you're out there hitting up, you know, the people, getting the message out, that kind of stuff, day in and day out. Plus, there's a broadcasting twist to this, but that's not going to come in until the end of this interview. EJ, what made you decide that you wanted to run for Congress?
Well, I retired out of the military. I was in it 28 years, and in the last 14, we're right here at MacDill Air Force Base, first at Central Command and then at Special Operations Command. My job on my last four was negotiating international agreements, and when I did, I found out that many of our friends around the world, they had issues with the United States that I never saw before, related to the fact that we have a weak military and a weak economy, so therefore we ceased being as influential as we were in the world, and that concerned me. So when I retired, I looked around and I saw that there's no leadership here locally, congressionally speaking, to do that. And I threw my hat in the ring to take care of that.
All right, so you know you have some stiff opposition from somebody who is completely different as far as running on different things. I mean, completely different, obviously, from a Republican agenda to a Democratic agenda, etc. What do you think are the biggest things in your mind, besides the reason that motivated you to do this, that are facing the people in your district? The biggest concerns? Is it the same thing that we keep hearing in the national level? Everybody in all the polling and whatnot, everybody's concerned about jobs and the economy and the future and what's going to happen with Medicare. Are you hearing that same thing?
Absolutely. Specifically, the same things that the congresswoman and the incumbent right now has been ignoring. We have one of the highest rates of foreclosure. You know, the income is decreasing. Unemployment is going up. standards of living is going down. The youth in our community, they don't have anything to look forward to. The elderly are running afraid of what's going to happen if this continues the way it is. And nobody champions our causes. And that's what I do. That's what I have seen when I have been knocking on doors and talking to thousands of people. They want somebody to help them make their life better.
All right, so you say you had the career in the military, you retire, then you decide to go into politics. What was the toughest thing that you learned when you decided, I'm going to throw my name in the ring here? For anyone out there thinking about ever jumping in after retiring or even during whatever career they have because they're frustrated or they see a lane, they want to take it, what's the first step? That's tough because you're not from a legacy family. Legacy is easier when you have, like, the Bush family, because I'll go to the national level. You had the Governor Jeb Bush here, of course. It's easier when you have people to hand down the instruction manual and some of the people that you need to know. So what are a couple of the first things you had to do when you decided to make this big leap?
Well, I think the instruction manual that I followed was the Constitution. That was very clear to me. I have an issue with professional politicians. They tend not to do well at the end. There are some that remain there forever, like the one that is in right now in my district. She's from one of those families, but she's forgetting about the people. And you've got to listen to the people. You've got to be willing to work hard, to buy a lot of shoes and go to a lot of places and drink a lot of coffee and listen to the folks. You've got to have a big heart, because if you don't, then you're missing the point of what the country really needs.
Yeah. As you say, you have to have a big heart, you have to pay attention, you have to listen to what the people need. So as now part of the strategy, because what are we, 60-some days out, 68 days to the election, what are you doing to know how you're doing with the people? Are you getting polls? What are the things that you're doing strategically to find out?
Well, so far we have beaten her in two polls, first time ever in six years, and I won my primary by 22 points. So there is a willingness by the folks out there. They want somebody to represent them. This is a district that there have been pockets of it, and the demographics that had not been looked at, that have been all they want is congressional oversight. The mismanagement of congressional dollars coming into the district are ridiculous. She doesn't pay attention to it. We're talking in the millions of dollars. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to look at exactly where the money's going so it is not a squander like it has been. We also have the port facility here, one of the largest port facilities in the country, and nobody pays attention to it. That has to be the mouth that brings in all the money from Latin America. Enough of Europe, enough of Asia. The money is in Latin America. Brazil is spending $1 trillion in the world.
Miami.
Some of that. Absolutely they are.
Yeah. So how is it that Tampa gets missed? Because you're absolutely right. I've been down there. I've been on the ships. I didn't even make that connection, spending lots of time in Miami and realizing the money they're getting from Latin America. How is it that that hasn't happened in Tampa? It's
well,
right in front of you.
It's leadership. It's all about leadership. And all of it, believe it or not, a lot of it has to do with federal issues. So you need to have a congressperson that understands that. You know, the free trade agreements with Latin America, with four countries in Latin America, and those agreements are about selling it to them, selling stuff to them, and being shipped out of the port of Tampa. That's what it has to do with. And we haven't had that. So you have individual folks in Tampa, in the Tampa Bay region, trying hard, but it needs to be worked as a team, led by in great measure by the congressional representation. We want to do that. It is embarrassing, I think, that you have the Panama Canal that is expanding. They're spending $3 billion there, and most of the contracts went to Korea, Italy, France, and Germany, and we got one token minor contract of a couple of million dollars when we are only a mile and a half away.
Wow.
And the last, if I may say so, is we have one of the finest airports here, and the folks at the airport, they're working really hard to expand routes, but so far, we don't have any flights to Latin America with the exception of Panama.
Even though you're so close.
Even though we're so close. I want to lead that. I want to partner with the local teams and change that.
Yeah, you're so right. When I flew to Ecuador, I spent some time in Guayaquil, had to fly to Miami.
Absolutely.
Even though I have family in Tampa, couldn't get out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. Now, you're here at the convention, so are you so to speak, for lack of a better way to describe it, picking the brains of some other Congress folks that have run or that are running? What kind of conversations are you having?
Well, the conversation we've been having day in, day out with hundreds of folks, we're laser focused on one issue, the economy of the country, improving it. And we are all talking about the same thoughts, the same possibilities to improve the economy and stop the nonsense that we have been having so far. We need to ensure that the elderly population, our seniors, are taken care of. They don't have to worry about losing their Medicare like they have been told erroneously. We need to make sure that we have new ideas for bringing new money in so our children have something to look forward to, so they have jobs to look forward to, instead of just playing a shell game with money that we don't have and continue spending money that we don't have. So we need to get back on track. We need to be lower taxes, control spending, and smaller government.
Think Mitt Romney's going to win Florida?
I think so. Absolutely. He did in January. He won Florida handily within the Republican primary. I think his solutions, his knowledge, and his care for the people is going to bode really well for exactly the needs of Florida today. An improvement in economy, looking down to Latin America as a source of investment, and creating jobs.
You sound like a politician.
I am not, so go figure.
Tell us about broadcasting. You told me two most interesting facts about Telemundo and your family.
Oh, well, that was my father. My father was Evelio Otero, and he was the first voice in Telemundo back in 1952, I think, out of Puerto Rico. And he was the third in Latin America, the first voice that went out over their airwaves on TV. And then he was the first newscaster in Puerto Rico and the third in Latin America. So I'm pretty proud of that. And although you can tell I'm no good at it, he was the genius. And then my mother was the first female producer and director of a show in Latin America back in the late 40s and early 50s.
Is that how they met?
actually, my father was doing a radio, of all things, and she was a young lady that was visiting the radio station, and the rest is history.
There you go. I love that. continued success in trying to make this happen for you. I just can't imagine what it's like now in these last... Is it exciting now that you're down to the last nitty-gritty here, the last couple months?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is irresponsible that we're having the issues that we're having, and my opponent, the congresswoman, she's out there with the Planned Parenthood people and with the Occupy people protesting rather than trying to come up with solutions to help the folks. If I may say so, I would like to invite everybody to go to my website, if that's okay. It's www.ejoteroforcongress.com.
That's pretty easy.
It is. And my Facebook is EJ Otero. And Otero is spelled O-T-E-R-O.
Do you have any Twitter or Instagram or anything else?
There's also Twitter in there.
EJ, thanks. You're hilarious.
Thank you so much.
Good
delighted.
Luck.
Thank you.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at CamelMilkForSale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties. is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk. 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to camelmilkforsale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's camelmilkforsale.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see 3 great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
About being the pole princess. I was so excited to meet our next guest. It was just by chance because I was bumping him out of his booth, or he was bumping me out of the booth, I don't know, but we're on Radio Row in Tampa at the Republican Convention, and check it out. Carmen Russell Sluchinski is with us, and he's the host of Capital Correspondent on the Voice of Russia. Reason. Reason and Russia, same thing, right? And the Voice of Russia, as I was politely corrected. It's the same thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the way we do it, it is the voice of reason, absolutely.
I love it. All right, so anyway, what he gave me when we started to talk was this interesting poll. They do incredible stuff. Gravis does incredible. It's Gravis, right?
Right, we do it together. We basically, Gravis Marketing is our call house, and they put out the poll together with us. This is Gravis Marketing. It's a political consulting firm, actually here in Orlando, Florida, not far from here. I'm based in D.C., we got together and started working on putting out these public, you know, information polls about,
right.
We call it our Battleground State Series, so we're going through the battlegrounds. We've done Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Virginia. We even did Missouri because we wanted to do the Aiken race, so
right.
We can talk about that if you want. And we're going to go through all of the, every state that we deem as being a battleground state, so being important. Being, you know, a swing state being important in this race.
Yeah, and I talk about the swing states all the time, and many of our listeners are from the swing states. You mentioned Missouri. Let's jump in on Missouri. What's happened with Congressman Todd Aiken and his his leap in the Senate to unseat Claire McCaskill. How's he doing now after all the controversy over the comments that basically all truncated but legitimate rape that went on from there? So how is he doing now?
All right. Our polling information is a few days old, so things could have changed, but this was right after. This was a few days after everything blew up. So this would have been the time you'd really expect him to just not be doing well. Neck and neck, Kate. He's actually neck and neck. He can still win this thing. So with a margin of error of 3.4%, we had Democrat Claire McCaskill holding a very narrow 38.8% to Aiken's 37.3%. That's within the margin of error. I mean,
right.
that is with, you know, anybody's game. Now, as I understand it, you know, I talked with some people in Missouri. You know, McCaskill, you know, she's been getting really pounded by Super PACs going in there and basically connecting her to Obama and that kind of thing. So we did do also the presidential pre-selection here. And we had, again, with the same margin of error, Romney was leading Obama by a 53% to 36% margin. This is not really a swing state. We wanted to do the Senate race. I mean, this could go either way in the Senate race, and obviously
sure.
It's very important seat to, in regards to who keeps the Senate. But this is definitely Mitt Romney's state to take. And I think that, you know, obviously it goes downstream a bit. But a lot of people, 42% of the people that we talked to, this is of likely voters, I should make this clear,
right.
Said that Aiken should step down. But 40% said that he shouldn't. The rest were unsure. So, you know, it's even split within the margin of error.
Wow, no kidding. How interesting. Yeah. And you're keeping up with this, because imagine how this will poll maybe, I don't know, even a month from now.
Sure. We're going to track all the states.
Right, what that's going to look like. Another big one, of course, that everybody keeps talking about is Ohio, and what's going to happen there. Lots of campaigning. Let's just say, even with Obama and Romney, lots of campaigning in Ohio. What have you seen in any of your research there? Because, of course, there's a big Senate race, too.
Right. We actually have some real fresh data from Ohio. I do have to pull it up here real quick. Here we go. So what we have is Obama is actually, again, very narrowly leading Mitt Romney. Obama has about 45.3% to Mitt Romney's 44.4%. I mean, you know, this is, again, we had a 3% margin of error on this one, very, very close. Interestingly enough, this is also an important Senate race as well. This is, of course, where Democrat Sherrod Brown is trying to hold on to his seat.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, has a narrow lead of 43.6% to 41.4% over Republican Josh Mandel, who I believe was the Attorney General?
Yes.
The Attorney
yeah.
General there.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, extremely close. And this is really recent. I mean, we just did this one. We got the results all together yesterday. That's pretty much going on. Now, I should point out, actually, something that was interesting. When we polled on this a month ago, Sherrod Brown was well ahead of Josh Mandel, I think. And I think Obama had a slightly bigger lead.
Wow.
I should go ahead and check that. But, again, Ohio always votes the way, just has a very strong history of voting for the winner. And, you know, this is it's a very important state. What are they, like 29 electoral? No, that's...
They have a ton of electoral votes, a big chunk. I want to say it's 29 to 30. Might be more.
What's Florida? How many is Florida?
Florida's even more than that.
So an important state, without a doubt.
Okay, Florida. So speaking of that, since you brought it up, we're in the Sunshine State, and a lot is happening here. It depends on who you talk to. Forget the polls for a second. It depends on who you talk to. The Republicans are winning it, the Democrats are winning. But that's usual here, you know, the hanging chads and all that from the past. So what did you see in your poll?
You know, again, a dead heat, and I thought it was interesting, your last
EJ Otero running for District 14 Congress.
Right. I happened to overhear him, and he was saying that he's pretty confident Romney's going to win. Of course, he's got to say that because, you know, he's running with the party. This is a very, very close one. Again, within the margin of error, I'm actually looking for... We came up with some really interesting stats, by the way, but... Sorry, I'm just looking for the 400%. Actually, real quick, since I have this right here in front of me, 43% of likely voters in Florida actually approve of Obama's president, while 51% disapprove.
Wow.
Now, what this, you know, one of the things that we talk about is how much this means that Mitt Romney should be way ahead, you know. But again, Florida, really, really neck and neck, right within the margin of error. And actually, one thing that we polled, we did a Florida poll a little while ago before Mitt Romney actually made his vice presidential selection. We tested to see how Marco Rubio would fare. If that would, because you know there was talk about he might take Marco Rubio because it would give him Florida. He actually lost votes if he were to have chosen Marco Rubio. And I thought it was kind of funny because, I mean, you know, up in D.C. we think, oh, Marco Rubio is really popular.
Yeah, yeah, that's the same mistake I made on a national show. And then I started to talk to more people. Oh, that's a little different than I've heard.
Even among Hispanics in Florida.
Yeah.
He would have lost a few votes.
Yeah, how about that? We go from Florida to Virginia. There's been a lot of conversation about Virginia. And, you know, I was excited to meet you because I love the data that you have compiled. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. I said I was like the poll princess because I take all these polls, whatever it is, name it. It doesn't matter, Washington Post, ABC, CNN. And it's interesting to compare where are they getting their numbers because sometimes they're so drastically different. And the listeners snicker at that because they're saying, well, that's because they're all slanted in this direction. They're trying to make the numbers work a certain way. So we'll talk about that. But Virginia, what did you see with Virginia?
Obama leads by a small margin. And, again, another important Senate seat. George Allen was actually had a slight lead. This is, you know, this is the guy most famous for making that McCaucus comment, right?
Yes.
Here he is. He's actually running again, and he could potentially win the seat. Again, we have – all right, so our poll, the Capco-Gravis poll, put Barack Obama at 44% with Mitt Romney at nearly 40%. Now, this is, you know, this is pretty close. This 16% of likely voters are still undecided, you know, were at the time of the polling, which was very recent. But this is, you know, I talked to a number of people who were pretty surprised, including a guy by the name of Kyle Condit over at Sabato's Crystal Ball at the University of Virginia. They do some of their own polling.
Yeah.
And they're convinced. I mean, they're really convinced that that Virginia is the Ohio of 2004, the Florida of 2000, that this is going to be the one that really, because it's close, you know, closer than, you know, typically leaning Republican, went you know, marginally for Obama in 2008, but you know, extremely close this year. It's going to be possibly within a handful of votes is what they're saying. But right now, up about, you know, he had about up about 4%, which I think really legitimately gives him a very, very narrow lead after the margin of error.
Yeah. How do you compile all of your stuff, your data, all, you know, what are the margins? How does this all work for you guys?
Sure. It's all through calculations. It's all through these equations, statistical analysis. We do have a PhD statistician that we work with us that, you know, gives us the margin of errors, gives us, you know, the appropriate weights and so on. And we there's a lot of conversation about how much weights things should have, if any at all. I mean, the most important thing is that obviously you reach out to enough people. We, you know, when we started, we were reaching out to like 800 people, which gave us, you know, which is very good sample size. Any statistician would tell you, you got to make sure you have the appropriate number of women of the different parties, you know, the racial makeup and that kind of thing. So, but when you the greater your sample size, the more likely, you know, the closer you're going to get. You don't need to wait as much, if at all. And we compare this to likely voters. This is the other thing. How many people voted in the last couple presidential elections? That kind of thing. You know, is the target number. Not the demographics of the state themselves, because we want people who are voting. You know, people that are likely to vote. We ask them. We ask them, who are you going to vote for? We're actually getting sample sizes of more than 1,000. I think the Ohio one that I just gave you, we originally called. We made 1,300 phone contacts.
Wow.
Which is really, you know, obviously helps us a lot. Helps it to get down that margin of error.
Yeah. Well, and you're going to keep doing this, obviously, along the path of this election and probably forward, too. Are you going to do that after the election? You keep doing the same thing, you know?
There's a lot of talk about that. We're thinking about doing a lot more on policy questions, you know, after the new Congress or whoever the administration is after the new Congress is set, start, you know, really taking a look at more things that they do, more bills that pass, and then trying to take the temperature of, like, you know, of Americans, what they think about.
Yeah. Carmen, will you come back on the show again?
I would love to.
You are terrific. The info is great. This is my new favorite poll. I mean, I like the way they get their data. I like the poll. And some of the polls that he showed me are some of the best that I've seen.
Wow, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That means a lot. But coming from the polling princess. Did you say the princess, right?
Polling princess.
Excellent.
Carmen, thanks. We'll have you back on America Tonight again.
Thank you, Jay.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.
Was the woman to watch at the Republican National Convention. That's where we're broadcasting live. And part of the speech, Condi laid out the foreign policy case for Mitt Romney. We'll have that coming up here right now on America Tonight.
When the world looks to America, they look to us because we are the most successful economic and political experiment in human history. That is the true basis of American exceptionalism. You see, the essence of America, what really unites us, is not nationality or ethnicity or religion. It is an idea. And what an idea it is. That you can come from humble circumstances and you can do great things. That it does not matter where you came from, it matters where you are going. Ours has never been a narrative of grievance and entitlement. We have never believed that I am doing poorly because you are doing well. We have never been jealous of one another and never envious of each other's successes. Been a belief in opportunity, and it has been a constant struggle, long and hard, up and down, to try to extend the benefits of the American dream to all. But that American ideal is indeed endangered today. There is no country, no, not even a rising China, that can do more harm to us than we can do to ourselves if we do not do the hard work before us here at home. Time in history. Greatness is built on mobilizing human potential and ambition. We have always done that better than any country in the world. People have come here from all over because they have believed our creed of opportunity and limitless horizons. They have come here from the world's most impoverished nations just to make a decent wage. And they have come here from advanced societies as engineers and scientists to fuel the knowledge-based revolution in the Silicon Valley of California, in the Research Triangle of North Carolina, along Route 128 in Massachusetts, in Austin, Texas, and across this great land. Continue to welcome the world's most ambitious people to be a part of us. In that way, we stay young and optimistic and determined. We need immigration laws that protect our borders, meet our economic needs, and yet show that we are a compassionate nation of immigrants. Successful too, because Americans have known that one's status at birth is not a permanent condition. Americans have believed that you might not be able to control your circumstances, but you can control your response to your circumstances. And your greatest ally in controlling your response to your circumstances has been a quality education. But today, when I can look at your zip code and I can tell whether you're going to get a good education, can I honestly say it doesn't matter where you came from, it matters where you're going. The crisis in K-12 education is a threat to the very fabric of who we are. My mom was a teacher. Respect the profession. We need great teachers, not poor ones and not mediocre ones. We have to have high standards for our kids because self-esteem comes from achievement, not from lax standards and false praise. And we need to give parents greater choice, particularly poor parents whose kids, very often minorities, are trapped in failing neighborhood schools. This is the civil rights issue of our day. Generations to joblessness and hopelessness and life on the government dole. If we do anything less, we will endanger our global imperatives for competitiveness. And if we do anything less, We will tear apart the fabric of who we are and cement the turn toward entitlement and grievance. Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan will rebuild us at home, and they will help us lead abroad. They will provide an answer to the question, where does America stand? The challenge is real, and the times are hard. But America has met and overcome hard challenges before. Whenever you find yourself doubting us, just think about all those times that America made the impossible seem inevitable in retrospect. Our revolutionary founding against the greatest military power of the time, a civil war, brother against brother, hundreds of thousands dead on both sides, but we emerged a more perfect union, a second founding when impatient patriots were determined to overcome the birth defect of slavery and the scourge of segregation. A long struggle against communism, with the Soviet Union eventually in collapse and Europe whole, free, and at peace. And in the aftermath of 9/11, the willingness to take really hard, hard decisions that secured us and prevented the follow-on attack that everybody thought preordained. And on a personal note, a little girl grows up in Jim Crow Birmingham, the segregated city of the South, where her parents can't take her to a movie theater or to a restaurant, but they have her absolutely convinced that even if she can't have a hamburger at the Woolworths lunch counter, she could be president of the United States if she wanted to be, and she becomes the Secretary of State. The impossible seem inevitable in retrospect, but we know it was never inevitable. It took leadership, and it took courage, and it took belief in our values. Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan have the integrity and the experience and the vision to lead us. They know who we are. They know who we want to be. They know who we are in the world and what we offer. That is why this is a moment and an election of consequence, because it just has to be that the freest and most compassionate country on the face of the earth will continue to be the most powerful and a beacon for prosperity and liberty across the world. God bless you, and God bless this extraordinary country, this exceptional country, the United States of America.
Rice's speech was definitely a home run with a lot of people. The former Secretary of State taking the stage on Wednesday night. I wanted to make sure that you heard some moments from that. Rice's speech began, of course, with a recollection of September 11th, I thought was pretty vivid. And then the link to the economic concerns that are pretty much the dominant issue, as we all agree, in this year's election. Stay with us. Much more to come on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.